number 18 nationally. It's the Buckmaster Show next on AM 1030, KVOI, The Voice.
Everybody, Bill Buckmaster, along with Ray Allen. Ray is engineering and producing the show. We certainly hope you had a great weekend. We're ready to do it for another week here on Buckmaster, today being Monday, the 26th of September, a big red letter day in American political history as the big debate. And yeah, there's a lot of hype, but this may be one case where I think all the hype is justified as far as the importance of tonight's presidential debate. Certainly hope you had a good weekend. We are open with the live line for you at 790-2040 for your calls and questions. If you would like to join in our Monday political face-off, we also invite you to become a friend of our program on our Facebook page. Still some room for you at Bill Buckmaster, and we do our Twitter account at Buckmaster Show. And every Monday we do kick off the Buckmaster Show with our Monday political face-off. We have a couple of teams of commentators. Each believes they are the A team. And this week we've got Bruce Ash with us. Bruce has been, he's in his fourth term as the Republican National Committeeman, four-year terms for him. And Don Jorgensen. Dr. Jorgensen is the former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. The Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Thanks to Moe. Moe believes in a very lively political discourse every Monday, and he sponsors our face-off, and his family has been involved in some great work: custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, hanging services, and hanging systems, and they've been doing this since 1985. They're conveniently located Fort Lowell and Dodge. They're on the Facebook at Moe's Gallery, and of course on the internet with MoesGallery.com. Don, how was your weekend?
Oh, always great here. Did a nice long trail run yesterday morning, so I'm enjoying not having exercise today.
Yeah. Do you do a couple of miles every day?
I do about four or five times a week.
You're a runner.
I am.
Okay, yeah. That's why you look in such great condition. Bruce Ash, how was your weekend?
I'm more of a plodder.
You don't run.
No. I've had two back surgeries, so I don't run. But but I did spend a fair amount of time at one of your other advertisers' place of business this weekend over at Green Things.
I was there yesterday. Some
great succulents on Saturday, and bought some lavender and lantana, some different fill-in things for things that died during the summer heat when we had the big wilt.
But wow.
Boy, I had a great time. They have great stock there, all kinds of, fall and winter flowers on display.
13 acres.
Yeah, it's
really great. Was going to get into this during our commercial for Green Things, but since you bring it up, Jan and Jack, the owners, they do such a wonderful job in hiring very competent people.
Yeah, they have some really good people.
I went in there. I said, I need a rose plant. Okay, taken care of. I need for my cactus garden. They brought in the cactus guy. I mean, it just so bottom line, great employees.
Yeah, and
Don
Jorgensen,
you know how important it is to have good employees, right?
Oh, no question.
Yeah.
That makes or breaks you.
It really does. Bren has been waiting a long time, and I'm actually going to take him first because he wants to talk about what it's on everybody's mind about the debate. Hey, Bren, how are you?
I'm doing great, Mr. Buckmaster. A long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you, sir.
And my question in regards to tonight's debate, which is highly anticipated, that either Donald will... Mr. Trump will go off the handle and say something very flippant, as he's oft to do so, or that Madam Secretary will have a coughing fit or something that may require something a little more drastic. I just want to get your take on either either one of those happening, what the outcome do you think would happen in regards to the an average Joe thinking, I'm going to vote, I'm not going to vote, or I'm still going to vote for who I selected?
Thank you, Brent. And actually, that was going to be my first question, but I'm glad that one of the listeners brought it up and a first-time caller. Thank you for calling the program. Don Jorgensen, let's begin with you. A lot of people, well, half of the people don't like either candidate. So there's going to be a lot of entertainment value, people tuning in to see if there's going to be a huge screw-up.
Well, yeah, I mean, your caller keyed on one of the prominent issues, is that what kind of debate is it going to be? And for many people, for many of us that are not undecided, and the majority are not undecided, it's akin to a sporting event. We were talking mm-hmm. sports before, and that's what it is. We're going to be rooting for our side to do well and to continue that with our favorite sport. You're looking for your candidate to hit a home run, and you're looking for the other candidate to make an error.
Mm-hmm.
And past debates have been remembered for those things. So the real question is, are we going to have reality TV?
Right.
Or are we going to have reality?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it going to be just focused on, and I put this to the media, is it going to be focused on just the entertainment value, style versus substance? Or is it really going to focus on what each candidate's vision for America is? Because that's the purpose of it. We can get, I'm sure we'll talk mm-hmm. more into the expectations game
right.
and what's happening with both. But that's the challenge.
Bruce asks, how do you see it?
Well, first of all, I would take exception with one thing that the caller talked about in terms of Mrs. Clinton's health. Nobody hopes that she has any type
coughing,
of health problems
or anything.
Yeah. I mean, we hope that she's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, she hasn't looked well recently. But in this debate, you know, expectations have been so high on Mrs. Clinton mm-hmm. and so low for Mr. Trump that, you know, it's probably going to land somewhere in between. Don's right. Most people have made up their mind. I'm hoping that 15-20% who haven't made up their mind take the time to watch this evening's telecast. There'll be something memorable, I'm sure, that comes from it. But, you know, there have been plenty of Super Bowl contests over the years that we thought were going to be great games that, you know, kind of turned out to be duds mm-hmm. In the end. But you know, this is a process. You know, this has been going on now for nearly 2 years. And I always think that debates are meaningful. This is not going to be Lincoln Douglas. It's not going to be Kennedy Nixon. And you know, it'll be the theater that it is.
Well, all true. And you mentioned the expectations, and that's really true. They have been high for Secretary Clinton and low for Trump, and both sides have pushed that. Although it's interesting that Trump's campaign manager, Conway, the other day came out and said that it won't be an issue. Trump's the Babe Ruth of debaters.
Hmm.
So I'm not sure
wow.
that his campaign is in sync too well with that. But it is true. There is, you know, as we've seen, different expectations. And one of the things that Secretary Clinton has fought is a double standard for a long time. A lot of focus, much more so on her, will be on how she looks, how she sounds. Does she smile enough?
Mm-hmm.
Is her hair right?
Mm-hmm.
All those things. That
likability thing.
True. And that is one of the issues she has to address successfully to win. Whereas the expectations for Trump is that he comes in and acts non-erratic as he or non-bombastic as he has in those other debates. And again, this is an experienced TV performer who certainly knows how to do that. He's been on stages. He knows how to do that. And to say simply that the goal is for him to appear normal for 90 minutes is, as Bruce said, a pretty low bar to get over.
You know, Bruce and Don, I think this may be a difficult one to judge who wins. If there is no kind of major screw-up on the part of either candidate and they do talk about issues, I think you're going to have both sides saying it was a victory. What do you think, Bruce Ash?
Possibly. I think that the debate commission has done something that has been a little different from the prior cycles. Mm. I think there has been an effort to equalize the stage for both participants. Apparently, the word is there'll be no fact-checking, as has been the case, for example, with Candy Crowley in the last debate of the last cycle. There was much talk about this thing with the step stool for Mrs. Clinton the other day. And, you know, they had set forth debate rules. And, you know, I had a fair amount of familiarity dealing with the Republican primary debates, watching the rules that were very elaborately set up. And they have the same kind of rules for these, you know, presidential debates as well. And the commission appears to be sticking to the rules, and everybody has the same rules of engagement, which I think is important, so that each of the participants has a chance to equally perform on that stage.
What do you think about judging how this all comes down? I mean, if both sides put together what meeting their expectations, Don Jorgensen, of what they believe is a credible performance, it might be difficult to judge who won.
Well, it might, and I'll get to that too. A couple of comments to follow up on.
Okay.
Bruce mentioned the Republican primary debates and that they had a lot of rules, and if I recall, a lot of those rules were broken too.
Not in terms of format, Don, or the way that the stage was set up and the moderator set up.
Okay, and they had multiple moderators, which is one of the things I like, because there was some fact checking happen, and it's a shame that that won't be occurring now, because that has been one of Trump's challenges. One of the things I learned this morning, and as you know, the debate is going to be shown on just about every news channel,
yes,
of course, and the top media channels too. I found out that Bloomberg TV, which a lot of folks have access to on their cable networks, will be running fact checks during the broadcast. They'll have it on the screen.
And yeah, that's a fair thing.
I would love to see that.
Yeah. You know, and there are some outlets, you know, CNN has done this, Fox News has done this, where they run, you know, the R and the D polling, you know, the viewer polls, you know, where they're turning the dials, as Frank Luntz calls it, you know, reacting to different things that are talked
about. That's a different process, and that's interesting to see how folks are reacting on the spot. That'll also be happening with social media, which has also come up, and that the debate may be decided in the first 20 minutes based on tweeting and social media versus, again, reality and what folks are saying. The other point, to answer your other question, Bill, about, you know, could there be, you know, no real winner or not clear? In reality, in past debates, the debates really hasn't moved the dial that much in terms of polling afterwards, especially a week after.
Mm-hmm.
Now, having said that, they said the average is 2 points or less. Has it moved the ratings? However, right now,
2 points
Hillary
means
Clinton
a lot.
Is ahead by 2 points, exactly. Mm-hmm. So that could have an impact. So if both candidates meet their expectations, do well, no obvious gaps, etc., I think, it's unlikely to create much change overall.
It is the Monday Political Face-Off, brought to us by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. We'll be right back with the Face-Off. Bruce Ash, Don Jorgensen, 790-2040. If you'd like to join us, please do.
If you're ready to landscape it, light it, floor it or store it, paint it, plant it, drill it or grill it, better get to Saba's Fall Home and Garden Show, September 30th through October 2nd, with free TCC parking. Brought to you by Patio Pools, Kinetico, Mattress Firm, TEP, Russet Southwest Corporation Heating and Air Conditioning, Central Pet, and the Gadsden Company. Discount coupons at sabahomeshow.com. Saba's Fall Home and Garden Show. It's the best home show ever built.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. And with almost 60 flights a day taking off from Tucson International Airport nonstop to San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Oakland, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, and easy one-stop connections to hundreds of destinations around the world, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org, and remember to always start with trust.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It's our Monday political face-off. Don Jorgensen and Bruce Ash are our commentators today. And of course, we are talking about what's on the mind of pretty much everybody, the debate tonight, which gets underway at 6 o'clock Pacific time here in Tucson. Cynthia has called us at 790-2040. Hey, Cynthia, what's on your mind?
Hi, thank you. I just wanted to ask, since Matt Lauer was trashed in social media, do you think that Lester Holt is going to be concerned about that?
Okay, thank you, Cynthia.
I think he's going to do a great job. I think Lester Holt is a very knowledgeable, experienced journalist. I think there may be more pressure on Lester Holt tonight than there is almost on the two participants. I'm not worried about Lester Holt. And frankly, I thought Matt Lauer, and I mean, I don't really think he's the greatest journalist in the world. He's sort of, you know, a little light for my taste. I think that Lester Holt is a good person to do this, and you know, I think it's said that he's a registered Republican.
That's what I read,
which is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And you know, as far as you know, his being the head person, he's the first black moderator, the head guy. Gwen Ifill has been part of others, but she wasn't, you know, the lead on it. So this is kind of an interesting debate.
He's a registered Republican, but Trump called him, from what I understand, said he was a Democrat, and then he said something off the cuff. Well, they're all Democrats.
So if you're telling me if Lester Holt's a Republican, then Trump was right that this debate is rigged. No, Cynthia, your caller. Actually, I agree with you. I think Matt Lauer was a disaster, and so I agree. I'm impressed with Lester Holt. I think he will bend over backwards, and I think it's his nature to be as straightforward and balanced as he can in this debate. I just hope he doesn't soft pedal the questions and the follow-ups that he's able to ask when some questionable responses come, as we can certainly expect.
So, Bruce, what has happened that has changed in the last 5 weeks that have made this basically neck and neck, this race?
Well, I think there's two things. One, there has been a sag in Hillary Clinton's numbers. Part of that may have to do with her some health issues, either the appearance with voters or her lack of ability to be as mobile as what Donald Trump has been for the last 5 weeks or so. And the second is Donald Trump has begun to hit his stride. And, you know, he said it 1,000 times, and obviously anybody who's watched him over a period of time knows he's not a polished politician. Everybody pretty much knows what they're going to get with Hillary Clinton. She really comes into this debate almost as being the incumbent. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think that's going to be a little more difficult on her than it will be Trump. But, you know, he has been making his own strides in states, Nevada, Ohio, for example. I think he's down to either a 2 or 3 point deficit in Pennsylvania, where he had been down by 8 or 9 points. He was down significantly in North Carolina. Events there last week are probably in the next week or so going to influence those numbers even further for the Republican candidate. So there's lots of different things that are going on, you know.
But there's something Bruce just said, Don, about in a way you were saying we don't know what we get with Mr. Trump.
Well, you don't. There's been,
We know there's going to be change. No, we know there's going to be change, but we don't know the form that change is going to take.
And that scares a lot of people.
It does. I want to come back to why you think the numbers have changed for Hillary. And yes, she was off the campaign trend for a little bit. She overcame the pneumonia, even though she got right back out there. But the other is the just constant focus on what were perceived to be her negatives versus Trump, looking at the Clinton Foundation, looking at all these things, which turned out to be a whole pile of nothing, and ignoring what's happening with Trump, the Trump Foundation scandal. That could have been a story for a month and still is a story. There's still investigations now coming on. His refusal to show his tax returns, which would be tremendous stories there. There's mm-hmm. still all the questions about his foreign conflicts of interest and the business and why, you know, 19 of the top CEOs in the country who are his peers do not support him. But there hasn't been any focus on his negatives because he has been such a consummate entertainer and performer and throwing out these statements has been proven lie after lie. About 76% of the time he's spoken, I think the PolitiFact has exposed those to be falsehoods. And so I think the media, instead of just trying to keep up with that and expose it, has welcomed the entertainment value for the ratings. Mm-hmm. That has played a big part in this change, and it's tough to overcome that. That's why I think these debates provide that opportunity for Hillary Clinton to demonstrate once again the reason that she rose to this position, that calm leadership, that steadiness, versus the kind of erratic behavior and off-the-cuff comments that we can't afford in a president when you're dealing with such serious world issues.
Well, anybody who reads the Washington Post and the New York Times and the Chicago papers and the Dallas papers, you know, Don brought this up the last time, knows that the journalists, mainly in the press, have not been very kind to Donald Trump, and they have been drilling down on him very, very hard, really for months and months and months. There is much behind the problems at the Clinton Foundation that are still being uncovered.
AAA rated. Trump Foundation scandal has been proven.
It hasn't been proven, and there's many questions that still exist. And why did Cheryl Mills and another four individuals receive immunity They obviously talked about things that could incriminate them. Cheryl Mills never even completed her interview with the FBI. There are people that have many, many questions about the Clinton Foundation. It serves as a model for what probably will be the next round of campaign finance reform because of the way that they jerry-rigged the system to enable them to use charitable gifts to a supposed foundation for the purpose of perpetuating a political operation during a time when Mrs. Clinton served as Secretary of State. And I would ask the question, what are her great achievements as Secretary of State, and what were her great achievements as a U.S. Senator?
Negotiating treaties?
What treaties?
Sanctions?
What sanctions
are
still in place?
Many. We're talking about the Iran sanctions. We're talking about all these
things
that
happened. And that ended up in the Iran nuclear deal.
The work she did to, help get bin Laden. Going back to Trump.
She had nothing to do with getting bin Laden.
She was in the room. You can't blame her for the Obama actions and then say she wasn't a part of it, Bill. She was there. She has that experience to lead.
We're gonna have to wrap it up. Bruce Ash and Don Jorgensen, thank you, gentlemen. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. And thank you very much. We'll be watching tonight, of course, very closely. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Check it out. They do the best custom frame mirrors. I've got some in my own home. Their framing cannot be beat. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Thank you, Moe. The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We bring you national stories ignored by the mainstream media. Sources include the Washington Times News Service, Personal Liberty Digest, the National Center for Policy Analysis, the Washington Free Beacon, and the Heartland Institute. It is national news coverage from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Tuesday at noon, the Tuesday Moneymaker Report with certified financial planner Shelley Fishman. Plus, we'll talk with Craig Sumberg of Fox Tucson Theater. That and more on Buckmaster on AM 1030. KVOI, Tucson's voice. We have worldwide live listening, podcasts, and archive on my website. That's buckmastershow.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, pushing 12:34 on this Monday afternoon. One of our fine sponsors, Silver City, and the Grant County area that is just a beautiful area of the Southwest United States. If you've not been over there, it's easy access from Tucson. 3-hour drive, and this is a perfect time of year over in Silver City. The aspens are turning beautiful gold, and there's a lot to do. Hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, the full listing of the many places to stay, and there are some great places to stay in the area, and there are many things to do. That full list at southwestnewmexico.org. We're going to talk a little bit about animal welfare issues, one of my favorite topics, and Randy Peterson is with us. Randy is Director of Development at the Humane Society of Southern Arizona. Randy, good to see you.
And happy to be here today.
You know, I think this town has come together on agreeing that we want this to be a better place for our animals.
Absolutely, and we've made a great strides in the community over the past couple of decades. And of course, just last year, Tucson was recognized in a national competition as the top pet city in America. And that's not, you know, just a popularity contest. We were nominated for the tremendous accommodations at local restaurants and hotels, but also the opportunity for everything that we do in the community as the Humane Society, our friends over at Pima Animal Care Center, and all the other great breed-specific rescues and nonprofits like the Hermitage.
Yeah, we have a lot of breed-specific rescues, and there are dozens of them here in town, maybe even as many as 100. I have no idea. But where does the Humane Society of Southern Arizona, Randy, how do you position yourself in this?
Well, we're the community's largest and oldest animal welfare nonprofits. We just celebrated our 72nd anniversary.
Whoa.
We've actually been providing services in the community since 1944. And while folks do tend to think of us as adoption, mm-hmm. or the place to bring an unwanted pet, we actually have three central pillars for the organization. It's shelter and placement, of course, but also prevention services and education and outreach.
When you look at the adoptions, and I believe the term you use in your industry is, the live
release rate.
Live release rate. There's been a dramatic change in Pima County and in Southern Arizona in that whole area.
Absolutely. Becoming a no-kill shelter, of course, is our goal. And there's 11 basic tenets that you subscribe to and things that you try to do. And we've been doing that for a couple of years here in the community. It's about having funds available for medical care for special needs pets, for example. It's about having a managed intake facility. It's about doing the prevention services, providing low-cost spay and neuter, providing vaccinations, and working with our Indigent Care Fund to try to keep pets in the home. So maybe 10 years ago, if you couldn't afford to have a pet, you'd just have to give it up. Now, if you can't afford to have a pet, we'll help you out with some pet food. We'll get you some low-cost vaccinations. We'll partner with you on a lot of different strategies. We'll provide behavioral training at times for those pets as well. Anything we can do to help keep you in the home. So the great then success story is the 97% live release rate. Those are positive outcomes for adorable dogs and cats and puppies and kittens and occasional, hamsters and gerbils and roosters and other mm-hmm. things that we handle sometimes as well.
But you do rely on support. That's the only reason, that is the only reason you're able to do your portfolio and keep it strong.
Absolutely. That's probably the most common question that I've gotten in the roughly 2 years I've been with the Humane Society is, how are we different from Pima mm-hmm. Animal Care Center? Mm-hmm. They're the government-operated shelter, and they do positive work there as well. But with the government support and with the tax dollars, we're a private nonprofit, 501c3, and we rely on our community. So the generous folks that come in through financial gifts or who shop at our thrift stores or our posh retail outlets who you know, put us in their wills and bequests, or who just come to adopt for us, or adopt from us, rather. They're all helping to support the organization. We rely on local philanthropy to have local impact.
And you've got a couple of big fundraising events coming up. October is a big month for fundraising.
Yeah, as it is for a lot of nonprofits here in the community. Our big one that's coming up is called Sweat for Pets. It's on Sunday, October 23rd. It's a massive fundraising walk that we do on the U of A campus mall. Folks can learn more at sweatforpetstucson.org. But it's a peer-to-peer fundraising event. So we encourage you to sign up and pledge that you might raise, say, for example, $200 or $300 or $400, and you're going to get your friends out there on Facebook and social media, everything like that. Folks can register again, sweatforpetstucson.org, and create a team name. So maybe it's Buckmaster's Beagles. You know, and then Bill can create a team and ask all his friends and supporters to offer money.
And then you've got the Sweat event for pets, Sunday, October 23rd. Coming up in November, you've got some big events.
Absolutely. We're going to be actually down here in this neighborhood at 1055 Brewing doing a craft beer tasting fundraising event. That's on Saturday, November 5th. Pause for the holidays. Always a lot of fun. Basically, pet photos with Santa Claus up at La Encantada Mall on November 19th. And a whole lot of things. We call our events parties with a purpose. And we like to be out there raising money, but we like having fun doing it. So I encourage folks, there's a ton of events throughout the year. We do over 150 events a year. The best place to catch them all is to just follow us on Facebook or subscribe to our YouTube channel or, you know, check out our website at hssaz.org. There's far too many events to talk about in just, you know, one segment here on the show.
There is a big collaboration coming up with animal welfare groups, isn't there?
There is, and that's actually key to our success then, is working with all these other groups to provide services. We call it a MASH event. It's coming up the weekend of October 7th, 8th, and 9th. This is a large spay and neuter event, so we're going to encourage folks to come on out. We can provide services up toward 150 animals per day.
Very good.
So we're hoping to do 450 animals out at Los Ranchitos Elementary on Valencia or Tucson. We're going to launch the Facebook page for it and start taking reservations by phone. That'll come up in just a couple of more days. So again, visit our website, check us out on Facebook, and be able to keep in the loop there. But if there's, you know, 450 more amazing animals that we can help, we're going to be ready to do it out there in October.
The whole spay neuter area is another area of vast improvement in the community.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But as I was telling you before we went on, Bill, we still see tens of thousands of unwanted animals here in our community. We basically, as a system, all of the different animal welfare groups take in, I believe it's right now about 25,000 animals a year.
A year?
A year. Which is roughly the same that they take in Los Angeles and Orange County, with far larger population. So we're still always working. We're still being vigilant on the prevention services. Get those animals spayed and neutered. Adopt. Don't shop. There's no reason to go to a puppy mill. You know, do everything that you can. Encourage your friends to do it as well. Participate in our trap, neuter, return program for feral cats. Anything we can do to help these animals, we want to bring those numbers down so that we can provide a loving forever home for every animal that needs one.
Your location, you've been off Fort Lowell for a long time. What's the future now for you, for the brick and mortar facility for the Humane Society?
Well, the good news there is that we've been working on a capital campaign. We were able to purchase some land a couple of years ago over near Roger and Oracle Roads, and we will be breaking ground for a brand new facility. We're going to be officially breaking ground for that coming up in December. We do still have a couple of $1 million to go in the fundraising. So if anybody's listening and wants to learn more about that, again, encourage you to contact the Humane Society of Southern Arizona. But about a year from now, we should be entering a new facility that's going to be able to allow us to provide so much more services to our community as well as to those animals. And with a 72-year-old facility, we've had to make do. My boss often says we're being held together by, you know, duct tape and zip ties. So this is going to give us a better facility for the animals, a better facility for the humans that work and volunteer there.
It's a better way to show off the animals.
Absolutely.
Let's face it. And I'm really excited about what you're doing with the Humane Society, with the new facility, and with the Pima Animal Care breaking ground with a new facility. This is very positive ahead.
Absolutely.
For our animals.
And it's a testament, again, to how much our community loves and respects those animals that we bring into our lives.
Because let's face it, Randy, you're going to adopt an animal. You want to go in, look over what's available, and you want to go into a facility that really is going to showcase the animal to their best, to their talents.
Absolutely.
Right? Looking
and,
good.
Yeah, and to that extent, the new facility will have more play yards where you can bring your existing companion animals.
The whole interface. Mm-hmm.
And it's just going to be a healthy environment. Even things folks maybe don't think about of the the air purification systems to prevent disease from spreading within a population. It's all happening with this new facility. We couldn't be more excited to be doing this and to have our friends at PAC doing it as well. And it's just, again, going to set us up for continued success here in this community.
Well, congratulations, Randy Peterson, Director of Development at the Humane Society for Southern Arizona. A lot of big events coming up. Probably we've got the Sweat for Pets, and that's October 23rd. We've got the MASH event. How about a website to go to your website for more information?
Absolutely. It's hssaz.org. Mm-hmm. That's short for Humane Society Southern Arizona. And again, they can also follow us on our Facebook. Just search us under Humane Society and we're right there.
Thank you very much, Randy.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, coming up on 12:45 on the Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman on behalf of Five Star Termite and Pest Control. Question, how many cockroaches does it take to change a light bulb? None, if you use Five Star Termite and Pest Control, because there are no cockroaches. Hasta luego. Adios, cucaracha. Do yourself a favor and call my friend Shelby Hawkins at Five Star Termite and Pest Control.
We're Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino,
and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations by delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County. The RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. I mentioned at the beginning of the program, I was talking during the face-off, where Bruce Ash was also over at Green Things, like I was over the weekend, got some beautiful roses, some other items. And what impresses me, not only the 13 acres full of wonderful things, but the help. The people that Jack and Jan hire over there are really knowledgeable people. You walk into Green Things, and they'll ask you, what can I do for you? What are you looking for? And you're going to get somebody that knows what they're talking about. Over at 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, greenthingsaz.com. Well, the election is quickly approaching. In fact, early voting will begin in a couple of weeks. Two educators are battling it out for Pima County School Superintendent in the upcoming election. Linda Azermanian has been the superintendent of schools here in Pima County since 2000. She has decided not to run. And Dustin Williams is the Democratic candidate. Dustin is with me in studio right now. He's running against Margaret Burkholder, who is on the Vail governing board over there. She also ran unsuccessfully for Tucson City Council in 2015. Dustin, how are you?
I'm doing really, really great, Bill. Excellent to be here.
How do the kids like the fact that you're running? The kids being your Mansfield Middle School sixth graders, where you teach a course called Math Counts.
It's really exciting. They come in each day, ask me how the weekend goes. They ask me where they get to vote. I tell them they're going to have to hold on just a little bit, got to be 18 years old. But the parents come in as well, and they're really excited about me running, and I've gotten some really good attention about it.
As the Arizona Daily Star pointed out, they have got a piece about you and your opponent in today's Star, that this position, really, it's not a big policy position, but there's some really important administrative duties with this job.
Absolutely, there are. One of the things that we're responsible for is the allocation of all the money that comes down from the state and making sure that the public schools that we look after, which are the 17 public school districts, get their funds and make sure that they're adequately appropriated. The other things is we do the bonds and the overrides. But what a lot of people don't know is that annually we set the tax rate for each school district. So for the homeowners in each school district, part of the portion of their taxes go to those school districts, and the Pima County Superintendent of Schools hashes out that rate each year.
I think a lot of people are wondering about the governor and what is next and the next step after Prop 123. What would you like to see that next step be, Dustin?
Well, it's got to be definitely for advocating for our teachers. Right now, the average teacher in the state of Arizona makes $31,000 a year. And if you look at the statistics right now, the poverty level for a family of four and a single breadwinner is $33,000. So we're actually putting our teachers in poverty in the state to become a teacher. We also know how much you come out with student loan debt. When you want to be a teacher, you got to be educated, and you need to have that teaching certificate and that degree. And coming out with a deficit of $35,000 to $50,000 in debt is really, really hard. So since 2008, they've cut public education roughly $1 billion. And we got to change this ideology. We really got to focus on how we're going to get more money, not only for our kids in the classroom, but really get the money in the pockets of our teachers to keep them here.
A lot of these teachers just quit after a while. They just they can't afford to do it.
Well, it's an interesting statistic also. 62% of all the districts report vacancies.
Wow.
That's about 1,000 long-term substitutes that are filling these positions. God bless our substitutes right now, because if it wasn't for them, I'm not really quite sure what we would do. But another interesting statistic, which is a really poor one, is 52% of all the districts report that one in five teachers leave mid-year.
And mid-year?
Yeah, that's mid-year.
Wow, I hadn't heard that one.
Yeah, that's a statistic.
They just can't afford to do it any longer? Just discouraged, whatever?
It's exactly that. It's just discouraged. It's the pay. It's the professionalism. The amount of work that a teacher has to do is daunting. It's definitely not a 9-to-5 job. This is a 7-day-a-week job. You're constantly thinking about how to be a better teacher, constantly thinking about how to make your kids get the best education possible. And then when you put the burden of having to sometimes pay for your own supplies, like many of my constituents and colleagues do, you wrap it all together. And when you have a $30,000 price tag to be this teacher, it makes people peek at other professions, and now you can see them leaving in droves.
You know, I think this is a position that maybe has been under the radar perhaps too long. You would like to change that and would change it, I assume.
That's my primary goal right now is to...
A lot of people have no idea who the superintendent of Pima County Schools is.
You know, I meet a lot of people.
They don't know what they do.
Yeah, I meet a lot of people, and I tell them 12 out of 10 people have never heard about the position.
And they're wondering, well, superintendent, does that mean like you're superintendent of a district? They don't understand, correct?
That's exactly what they do say. You know, I tell them I'm running for the superintendent
of the
county. And
they say, which district?
And then they say, well, you're taking HT's position or Calvin Baker's. I say, oh, no, this is a position within the county. So
what does that tell you? That this thing really needs more visibility, right?
Yeah, it needs to be shaken up. We need to give it a little rocket fuel is what we like to say in our campaign. And it's about getting everyone involved. And I recently got a great endorsement with Mayor Jonathan Rothschild, who wants to partner up with a lot of the amazing things that he's doing. And I think once the public sees the partnership and then they start to see the collaboration, and we can take these ideas, and Bill, this is important, is take these ideas and turn them into actions and actually do some things and then get the media behind it. I think that's when the public will start to buy in and then start to understand about the position and then start to understand about the power the position could have.
You're a 42-year-old guy and you decided to go into education. Was this something that came later in life for you, or was as a kid, were you interested in teaching?
You know, I grew up doing a lot of different jobs, but one constant job that I did in my life was I was always working with kids. I was a coach, and I was coaching softball. My sisters were on the softball team, and I was in my fifth year teaching. I was sitting out in the outfield one day, and I was looking around, and I said, you know what? This is the happiest I'm going to be is working with the youth. And from that, I was a mortgage broker at the time. I went back to my boss. I said, hey, you know what? I'm leaving. I changed my bachelor all around, and the story's been set. And for the last 15 years, I've been involved with education from after-school programs, which were at Flowing Wells Title I School, Laguna, doing their 21st Century Grant program. And then I got a chance to go to Amphitheater, then TUSD to be an elementary teacher. And then I had my opportunity to be assistant principal at a Native American high school. And throughout this entire journey, I've always believed in education. I've always believed in our kids. I believe in this community. And there came a time where I could no longer sit on the sidelines, and I knew I had to act. And so I filed this committee to be the superintendent of schools in 2015 of January. So we've really been working really, really hard. We've really got the meet and greet down so that if I get elected on November 8th, we don't have to spend time doing the meet and greet. We can hit the ball rolling and get going on some positive change.
Have you been walking door to door?
My knuckles are bruised and battered, and it's a lot of door to door. It's a lot of events.
Knocking on doors.
That's pretty much it. It's a grassroots effort. You got to meet the people. You got to listen to the people. And I tell you what, from knocking on doors, I've met more people and found more opportunities that we can bring to this community.
Well, one opportunity, Dustin, about retired educators. We got a ton of retired educators in this town who are probably saying, you know, retirement isn't what I thought, and I'd like to contribute somehow.
You know, that's a great point. I've been discussing this with Lucy Messing, who's a great retired teacher. She's been around for a long time. And one of the things that she'd like to do is file a focus group. And that's something that the office can do and that I'm willing to do, is get our retired teachers together, see how much energy they got left in the tank, and then get them back involved in our schools. I know that there's a lot of paperwork and there's a lot of stuff that's involved, and some of them are more
but
than likely
happy. But you'd be certainly willing to look at that.
Oh, God, that would be incredible if we could do something like that.
All right, Dustin, where can we find out more information? Your website.
Yeah, DustinWilliamsForEducation.com. That's Dustin Williams, F-O-R, education.com. I'm also on Facebook at Dustin Williams for Education. I invite all of your listeners and the community of Pima County to check me out. And if you have any questions, all of my information is located on that website. And I'm more than happy to sit down, have a cup of coffee, and hear some ideas and maybe even hear some concerns that you have or what you'd like to see in the next Pima County Superintendent of Schools.
Dustin Williams, thank you very much.
Bill, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Coming up this afternoon for Tucson at 4, Mike Shaw, along with Ray Allen, the two of them get together and they put on an outstanding program from 4 to 5. Then Wake Up Tucson from 6 to 9 in the morning. Then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you. Our Tuesday edition, we'll get that going at 12:04 on Tucson's kind of main street right here, our town hall, every day right at high noon on KVOI. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray did a nice job as usual, and together we hope you have a great afternoon and evening.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. The countdown to the showdown, the first debate of this year's presidential race, now about 5 hours away. And it could garner an audience of close to 100 million people.
The two candidates will take the stage at Hofstra University for a 90-minute primetime debate. And each presidential nominee has weaknesses to try and overcome. Trump needs to prove to voters that he has the policy depth and is fit to serve as commander-in-chief. Clinton needs to demonstrate to a skeptical public that she can be trusted. Tonight's opening debate comes amid a tight White House race. Greg Clugston, New York.
Sound of gunfire pierced the air this morning in a Houston neighborhood. Police Chief Martha Montalvo says 9 people were wounded before police fatally shot the gunman.
The individual was firing actively at the officers, at which time the officers engaged the individual. Suspect was pronounced dead soon after.
The gunman had been firing at passing cars, and Jennifer Melita got a call from her husband shortly after he left for work.
He's screaming on the phone and crying, "I'm hit, Jen, I'm hit. I lost it."
Police say the man was an attorney who had some issues with his law firm. Houston's mayor says the individual may have been let go. Court documents show a 20-year-old Turkish immigrant accused of killing 5 people in a Washington State shopping mall confessed to the crime. The White House says it's difficult to envision any military cooperation with Russia in Syria because Moscow has repeatedly failed to fulfill its commitments to a recent ceasefire deal. Stocks spent the day in the red, and that's where they closed. On Wall Street, the Dow down 165 points, ending the day at 18,096, and the NASDAQ closed 48 points lower. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans. Mortgage rates have dropped again. In fact, recently mortgage rates have dropped to the second lowest level in history. Now is the time for you to take advantage of these historically low rates and save serious money every month by refinancing your mortgage. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is all the way down to 3.5%. APR 3.57%. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN to see how far we can lower your mortgage payment. For 6 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. And for the third year, they also ranked us highest in the nation for mortgage servicing. It's a great time to refinance with Quicken Loans and save hundreds every month. This ultra-low rate of 3.5% won't last long. So call 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Visit jdpower.com for award information. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
Now, a 1030 KVOI news update provided by Tucson News Now.
Good afternoon, Tucson. At 103, I'm Ray Allen. Tucson.com is reporting local developer Don Bourne has unveiled a new concept for downtown Tucson called City Park, a food mall featuring approximately 15 retail and restaurant vendor kiosks under one roof with shared seating. The food hall would be on the first floor of a five-story building proposed for the empty lot on Congress between Stone and